So here we are in the beautiful Waterside Workers Hall. What I'm wanting to do, and what a lot of people have asked me about, is how the actual art of work came about, and how the song came about, and how ambulances happen. You collaborated together to get that beautiful song, and we got it out to the public. Mm. But also how Vitals was set up in the beginning. So that's my little bit. Okay. Now the rest is a conversation.
Well, I'll start with Vitals, and I won't go into a great deal because a lot of it is in that book. But 84, Margie, Roxy and I came together. Margie and I knew each other from Sydney, and we'd been in various theatre companies together. Well, not together, but various theatre companies. We came here, and with a woman called Sue Ridgway, we started to do some political theatre. Sue was a musician, and Margie and Roxy and I. And then Sue dropped out, and the three of us continued, and we decided that we wanted to do street theatre that was political, that was professional, that was really good street theatre or theatre. So we started Vitals in the old Holden factory, which used to be across the road, across the bridge. And we were in there for a few years, and then there was a big fire and it got burnt down. But in the meantime, we had moved in here to the Waterside Workers Hall because Roxy was writing a play about the Waterside Workers, the women's auxiliary of the Waterside Workers. And so we had moved our office in here, and but left all our props and costumes and everything in the Holden factory. And also there was Port Life, which became Port Community Art Centre, and Port Youth, which then became Kooroo. But in those days it was Port Youth and Port Life that were in the building, and they had to be moved when the building got burnt down.
That's a fascinating history. Mm. Oh, was it fairly unique for women to be doing this in that time?
There was a really strong feminist movement in Adelaide, and we'd set up theatre companies before. So I'd set up a women's circus and another company in Perth called Desperate Measures. I mean, women were being very active. So I don't know that it was unusual.
So it was a successful theatre company.
Vital Statistics. Yes, yeah. Well, it still exists.
It still exists. Yeah, it's 40, very successful, 40 odd successful years now.
Yeah. It's had to morph and change as theatre, as funding.
Yeah.
I think it's adapted very well to whatever the funding situation has been. But it's kept the same principles. That feminism, those feminist principles have always been really strong.
And workers?
Oh, yeah, and workers, and this hall.
And this hall.
Yeah.
And this hall's sort of integral to so many things, isn't
it? Yeah, and it's next year's 100th anniversary of this hall. Mm. Yeah.
And that's really significant.
Mm. So when the building burnt down, we were here, and we lost all our props and costumes, but we had the office here, and we made a bid to keep the hall. And because it had been empty before that, we were successful.
And how long has the choir been rehearsing here?
Well, this is our 20th year, so it's 19
years.
Yeah.
And it's a regular thing. It's this. Are there many regular things that happen in this building, like the choir?
I don't actually know.
No, there's not a regular ongoing, but it gets used for weddings, funerals,
and anything,
parties. Anything, yeah. It's a popular venue for hire, as well as theatre.
Yeah, and it's a very beautiful venue and very significant historically.
And the Waterside workers use it, the unions use it, all of that,
I love when people come into choir and they say, oh, actually my grandmother used to come here, or like, oh, my grandpa used to work on the wharves and... I've got a strong connection to this hall.
So the particular song that was written for The Art of Work, can one of you talk about that?
Do you want to
I can talk about that. So, I mean, do you want me to just give a little background to the project? Mm. I mean, it's quite hard.
Yeah.
It's such a big project. It's,
yeah.
You know, it's really hard to talk about it.
So,
it really started when Ollie and I met in 2021, I guess. So, and Ollie and Maggie and Roxy had just been going through the archives, and Ollie was talking about it, and so it sounded really interesting because I just moved to Adelaide. Yes, sort of. Yeah, just to fast forward down the track, the project sort of, I guess, was inspired by that history, and the song was a real centerpiece to the project, and the choir was a really integral part of the project as well. And the song, in my documentary work before, I had done a few musical, not really musical, but yeah, music, I guess, sort of worked with interviews, and sort of they had been turned into lyrics for songs, and I was very interested in that sort of relationship. But then working with the composer and sound designer Zoe Barry, we had this idea about, yeah, sort of using some material to make the lyrics, and I can't remember how it happened, but it was something, yeah, basically around the audience comments that were left after the shows mostly in the 80s, I would say. So after a show, audiences would write a comment and feedback, and so yeah, then we started picking out some sort of phrases from that, and Zoe sort of very diligently went through a lot of the comments and picked some out that she felt could form the lyrics to the song. Well, I guess the real, yeah, reflective of a lot of themes in there as well around women's work and yeah, then collective energy. Mm-hmm.
And we used to get people to fill out feedback sheets at the end of every show.
Uh-huh.
Or most, because a lot of the theatre we did was a community theatre, so we did it in halls or in, not in theatres, we did it in TAFE, you know, canteens and schools and places like that. So we'd often get people to write feedback, and we use that as guarantee for funding for the next project, or just for our own interest as well. Because we often ran questions, got questions from people afterwards and ran quick Q&As. So there were lots of comments from all sorts of people. Yeah.
And it's just wonderful how they've been incorporated into the song.
Mm.
And it's become an earworm, hasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. That was such a fun part of the process,
yes.
Of learning the song, is that immediately it was so catchy.
Yeah.
You know, Kim, I remember, I think that we met at the, maybe at the viewing of the first iteration.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Jen or introduced us and said, oh, if you're thinking about a choir or something, like, oh, there's the choir that's here.
What about Emma?
Yeah, maybe it was Emma. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Emma, of course. And I remember it must have been a while later, but you called me on the phone. Or maybe we emailed or something, and then we had our first chat on the phone, and I remember at that point there wasn't like a... We didn't have a conversation of, oh, it's going to be... It would be a work that's, you know, composed and arranged by Zoe, and it'll be from these lyrics. It was just more like a are you interested kind of vibe, what's the choir about, that kind of thing. But I remember that conversation, and we talked for quite a while, I think. I remember getting off the phone and thinking, oh, Kim seems great. I hope that we get to work together. And then there we go.
Yeah.
I think in the beginning, that, like, I was thinking, oh, the choir could be singing the whole way through,
yeah.
And not realising that that's probably a really difficult thing for a choir to do.
Yeah.
But did you sing it between yourselves to get the... to know how to present it to the choir?
Well, Dad and I sang it a lot together. And when Zoe sent through... So what that process with Zoe and Kim was, we talked a lot. And then Dad and I talked, like, gave Zoe some examples of arrangements that work with the choir and ranges that work well and what songs have worked well, to give her an idea of how what might work well for this particular choir. And it was just amazing what Zoe did, what she created. So, I mean, for us, it seemed so quick as well. Her idea is just amazing. And then the process of her sending it back, and then we would sing through it. So Dad and I would sing through it together and go, oh, this will work really well, or this might be a bit challenging, or what about this or something like that. And Zoe had this incredible ability to just go, oh yeah, great feedback, okay. And then, you know, the next day or something like that, she'd send back something and she'd say, incredible. Oh, yeah.
I've just come up with a whole new section.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah,
I found that amazing because it's like, oh, feedback's really, I mean, like she's a real professional.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Feedback. It's like, but other, yeah, other people.
Yeah, no, she was like, yeah, that makes sense. And just, yeah. But that process of working out, it was a really lovely process because it involved singing things through to see what it felt like.
And you
like.
Broke everything up into the different groups, or into three, wasn't it? High and...
Three.
But how did you choose which group would sing?
Well, Zoe did the arranging as well. So she it was all Zoe, really. She composed it and arranged it. And then our part was mostly just thinking about how the choir likes to sing and making sure that Zoe knew about that. And then she incorporated all of that. And then we had the pleasure of teaching it.
Yeah.
And she came.
Yeah.
To listen. Yeah.
Well, she had a great knack of telling the story, but also at the same time, relating well with the community choir. She was really on that sort of wavelength.
At first I thought, like, it was so complex.
Yes.
It was like, how? Yeah. You know, like, it's also being, you know, in the choirs, it's like, God, how are people going to learn this?
Yeah.
Thinking of myself, how
it
would
did
I
seem
learn
complex
it?
In the
really
beginning.
Complicated.
Yeah.
And, like, people really worked really hard.
But it just fitted.
Yeah, and I remember that first, before we did the first session with the choir, I remember we were going, so Dad and I were thinking, oh, this, how's this going to go? I mean, it's an amazing piece of music. We love it. It sounds great. Love everything about it. But how's it going to go with the choir? And how's it going to go to teach it? Like, we had already, but what we do is we plan out how we're going to teach things before we come to each choir session. It's always a little bit iffy because you don't know how it's going to land. Mm. But I remember even from that first one, you could immediately hear how it was starting to piece together from the very first session. And that's a real, that's real kudos to Zoe for creating something that was, that had that shape. Mm. So easy to form. Yeah.
And that any range could fit into. Basically, you know, there was capacity in each of it, each of the little bits for a range of voices.
Yeah.
Except for the Love Yous. There was 20, I think.
No, I never got to sing those.
I loved the I mean, all of the lyrics were great, like, just really wonderful. But I remember, was it the last night, Sue, or was it the night that you were performing? Or it was very close to performance. And what was the lyric where it was the first time that you that? What was the
Bloody Accurate?
Yeah,
wonderful
Bloody
script.
Accurate.
I had Bloody Activist.
You know how the bass? Ollie and Kim, you were both singing. You were singing Bloody Accurate, wonderful script. But all the time, so you'd been thinking it was Bloody Activist.
But wonderful script. Bloody Activist.
But it both fit.
And I was convinced that it was because it fitted in my head.
Yeah, and we all sing, Bloody Activist. Yeah.
You women.
Go for it.
Anyway, it was an absolute delight to be part of it. Is there anything more about that sort of collaboration that you want to add to, you know, to this? And, you know, are you open to more if people have ideas?
Oh, absolutely. I think this one was particularly special. Like we've talked about before, that I think it was one of the real highlights of the choir. We're really lucky in that we get to work on lots of different projects, but this one felt absolutely the most special in many ways.
In terms of place and time.
Yeah. Time, obviously the Vitals connection and, you know, and singing for 20 years with you, Ollie, you know, like, but the process with Kim, absolutely the most kind of heartfelt, ethical, collaborative, coming from the same politics behind it was just really very powerful to be involved in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think the process, because the process was so long as well, there was a you know, it was a real long, I don't know, long gestation, and which felt really, yeah, really good way to work as well.
It did, and it's the power of a choir too, of the collective, isn't it?
Yeah,
the, yeah, that just works.
Yeah. And I loved, Kim, that you know, you came to quiet with this piece in mind, with this work in mind, and then you've stayed in the choir.
Yeah, the choir has that effect.
The grip on me.
Bloody activists.
Yeah, bloody activists.
But wonderful script.
Yeah, exactly. Wonderful script.
Well, thank you. Thank you. So people have asked so much about it, and I hope that every now and then we can just sing the song.
Yeah.
And just keep it in our heads, because I don't know if it can be used again. You know, but it's just a fabulous song.
Mm-hmm. We are talking about restaging it for the 100-year anniversary, which I think is maybe the year after next.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, awesome.
That would be great.
Yeah.
So. I think we're free.
Check your diaries, please.
I've just checked my diary. I think we're free.
Secret planning going on.
Yeah. Well, just, yeah. Preliminary talks.
Nothing else you want to add?
No.
Yep. Lovely.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.